Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I am so glad that you've joined us this Mother's Day weekend, and I want to wish a very happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, all the grandmothers, all the great-grandmothers who are listening, and to all you expectant moms and future moms, in God's will, hopefully, who are listening. Know how much we love you and appreciate you. Moms are the key to the nuclear family. And dads may set the tone, but the moms carry out that tone, that vision for the family. And we love you, moms and grandmoms, and we thank God for you. So happy Mother's Day, and I hope your family's doing something very special for you this weekend, because you deserve it. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to pray, and let me pray for you moms, because I know it's a demanding job, and so let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much for our moms, our grandmoms, great-grandmoms, our future moms. Lord, I thank you for these women who take so seriously the responsibilities of raising up their children to love you and walk with you as Christian moms. And Father, I pray for them that you would give them strength, that you would give them stamina, that you would give them endurance, that you would give them patience, that you would give them wisdom, Lord, and everything else, encouragement, hope that they need. Father, thank you for the promise of Proverbs 22:6. Raise up a child in the way he or she shall go, and when they get old, they shall not depart from it. So, Lord, encourage us as moms to just keep keeping on, just keep investing in those children, and investing the scripture in those children, and biblical truth in those children, in the confidence, Lord, that you will make sure when they get old that they have not departed from it. So Jesus, watch over, protect, and encourage our moms, and open our hearts now to the Word of God, that we might learn and that we might be encouraged in our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. You bet. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Now, we are going to pick up this week in John chapter 6, where we have been moving through the Gospel of John. And just before we do, I want to say that this week I got back from leading our Footsteps of Paul tour. We had a great time. Thank you for those of you who prayed for us. And let me tell you what I discovered. I discovered that traveling now in this post-COVID world is really not very hard. Greece, no requirement for vaccinations. Italy, no requirement for vaccinations. A simple antigen test 24 hours before we got on the plane to come back to the United States, no problem. It was easy. It was simple. Didn't even have to wear a mask. I didn't even have to wear a mask on the way home on United Airlines. It was wonderful. So I want to encourage you, if you've wanted to go to the Holy Land, but you haven't made it so far, and then COVID shut everything down for a couple years, Israel does not require vaccinations anymore. And so this is your year. Come on. We've still got plenty of room. And all the information's available on our website, LonSolomonMinistries.com. And we would love to have you join us for our Holy Land tour. This will be number 57 for me, and I never get tired of going to the Holy Land. I'm excited every single time afresh, because the impact is so amazing. And if you want to bring your children, we already have a bunch of children coming in the ages of 6, 8, 10, 11, whatever. Great time to bring your children, whatever age they are. So, if you have any questions, give me a call. But it's simple traveling today. It's like back in the old days. Okay, now, with that little, advertisement? Yeah, let's dig into the Word of God. We are studying John chapter 6. What an amazing chapter. Oh my gosh. This chapter, you can't rush through it because it is just so full of spiritual truth. So we've already talked from John chapter 6 about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. And then, of course, Jesus walks on the water. And then, after that, Jesus tells people that seek not the bread that perishes, but seek the bread that wells up to eternal life. And they say, What is the bread that wells up to eternal life? And he said, it's me, believing in me. So we've already had some massive issues in this chapter. But now we come, I think, to one of the most important and precious sections of the New Testament, where Jesus simply says to these listeners, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that today. So, let's go back. We're using the New King James version of the Bible. Let's go back to verse 24. And when the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum up on the north shore seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Well, the truth is, he came the night before walking on the water. And Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him, the Son of God. And they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he, the Father, sent. Now, we talked about this last week, that there's no work that we have to do, but just believing, putting our faith in what Jesus Christ, in who he is, and what he did for us on the cross. Okay, now we got that. All right, now here we pick up. Verse 30. Therefore they said to him, What sign, what miracle will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Now, this is crazy, right? Isn't this crazy? My gosh! He just fed 5,000 people or more with 5 loaves and 2 fish and all the other miracles he's done, and they're still asking for a miracle, a sign to convince them? Are you kidding me? They should have had no trouble being convinced. They go on to say, Verse 31, Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, He, God, gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, manna, as you probably know, was what God gave the Israelites in the wilderness to feed them for a year when they wandered, because there was no food out there. And it fell from heaven every evening. And they went and picked it up on the ground. And the Bible contains a description of it, that it was sweet like honey and tasted like coriander seed, and how the Jews got sick of eating it, because after a year eating the very same thing every day, they just got sick of it. You know, it was like they had fried manna and stewed manna and fricasseed manna and boiled manna and manicotti. I love that joke. Manicotti. And they didn't. There was no other way to fix it. They were sick of it. You remember that. And God got upset with them. Okay, this is what they're talking about. What other miracle will you do for us? Because, hey, Moses did this miracle and brought manna down from heaven. Now look what Jesus says. Verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father was the one that did it, right? Then he says, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about himself. This is the true bread that God gives the earth. He comes down from heaven and he gives life to the world. And just in case there is any confusion, verse 34, they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, what's wrong with you? You don't understand what I'm saying to you? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Wow. You know, I love when Jesus, in John chapter 11, is talking with Mary and Martha about the resurrection. And he says that Lazarus will live. And Martha misunderstands him and says, I know he'll live again in the resurrection. And Jesus corrects her and goes, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is me, not some doctrine. I am the resurrection. Well, I love it here. When Jesus says, the bread of heaven, the true bread that gives life to the world is not some doctrine, it's me. I am the bread of life. Wow, what an amazing statement. I am the bread of life. Look, he says, verse 35, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Amazing. What a promise. Jesus is talking here about hungering and thirsting on the inside. He's not talking about hungering and thirsting materially. He's talking about in the heart, that when he comes into a life, that life will never hunger on the inside for meaning and purpose. And that life on the inside will never thirst for living water and the eternal presence of God in the inside. Okay, now, the rest of the Bible says this very same thing. Let's talk first about thirsting, all right? Let's look at Isaiah 55. Look with me, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance, incline your ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Wow. Jesus isn't talking here. Look what he says. He isn't talking about spending their money for bread that doesn't satisfy. He's not talking about materially. He's talking about spiritually. Now, where does he say you get it? You get it from him. And it doesn't cost anything. You don't need to bring your money. Just come and drink and eat. Let's look at John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, if you remember, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he says, whoever drinks of this water in the well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, Sir, give me this water. What's he talking about? He's talking about inside, this well of living water that springs up into the presence of God and the power of God and into eternal life inside of us. One more verse. Look at chapter 7 in John's Gospel. Chapter 7, verse 37. Look what Jesus says. On that last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wells out of our heart, wells up in our heart, and gives us living water. This is what Jesus is talking about. It says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst and shall never hunger, because I will fill those inner needs. When we talk about hunger, let's look just a little bit farther down in John chapter 6. Look down in verse 48. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. But this, meaning himself, is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Wow. Wow. Okay. So here we have Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Let's repeat what he said. I am the bread of life. Look at this in verse 35. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. On the inside. Now, that's the end of our passage, but it's time to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, here we go. Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. When we were on our trip, one of the people on our trip was my good friend Max O'Biden. And Max came up to me one morning and he said, Hey, you know the Reformation that had the five sola? Sola means only. Sola scriptura, only the scripture. Sola faith, sola whatever. Okay, there were five of them. He came up and said, I have a sixth sola. And I said, really, what is it? He said, sola wata. How funny is that? You know, so what? Sola wata. Sola wata. I told him, I said, Max, that's hysterical. I'm going to give you credit for that. So, sola wata. Okay. And man, to be back and be with you and be doing the word of God together. Hey, baby, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. So, what difference does this make to you and me? Friends, listen. Every human being has a big hole right here in the middle of their chest where they're empty spiritually, where the meaning and the purpose of life, it's empty, where the real satisfaction in life, it's empty, where the real fulfillment in life, it's empty. No matter what we do humanly, it remains empty. I remember Madonna introducing one of her albums, was being interviewed, and she said, I want to say that fame and fortune, she said, I tell you, fame and fortune is not what they're cracked up to be. Yeah, isn't this interesting? The material girl living in the material world has discovered that material things don't satisfy. Isn't that interesting? And I think all of us had to read Shakespeare in high school. In fact, because of Shakespeare, I almost didn't get out of high school. If it hadn't have been for Cliff Notes and the internet, I'd still be a senior in high school today at the age of 73. I'm telling you the truth. So, but, do you remember Macbeth? You say vaguely, yeah, me too. But Macbeth was all about how Macbeth and his wife, Lady Macbeth, cheated and schemed and murdered their way to the kingship, to the throne of Scotland. And once they got there, they discovered that it did not give them the satisfaction. It did not give them the fulfillment that they had expected that it would give them. And it caused Macbeth to say, and I quote, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying, meaning nothing." Listen to this. This is after he got to the throne. "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, but meaning nothing." Here was a guy who'd made it all the way to the top, and he said, "My life still doesn't mean anything. I still don't have that inner peace, that inner satisfaction, that inner joy, that inner fulfillment after getting to the top." And you know, lots of people in our world have discovered that. They have gotten to the top of the ladder in industry, or the top of their ladder in medicine, or the top of the ladder as a lawyer, or the top of their ladder as some pastor, or whatever it may be. And they discover, as an entertainer, they discover that that doesn't bring them the satisfaction. It doesn't fill this hole in our heart. And you know what? When I was a student at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, in my early 20s, I had this huge hole in my heart that I was trying everything I could think of to fill with partying and womanizing and drinking and dope and Eastern religions and going back to Judaism and whatever. Everything. Higher education. And nothing would fill it. And I finally became convinced that, like, maybe there was no, maybe everybody didn't have this any meaning and fulfillment and purpose in the middle of their life and satisfaction. But I thought, if that's the case, I'm just going to commit suicide. Why am I going to go through 50 years of life having this empty hole in the middle of my chest? Well, friends, when I came to Jesus Christ, that quest was over. Listen to what Jesus said. Let me go back. John 6:35. Look what he says. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger on the inside, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Living water welling up, not just to eternal life, but welling up to purpose and meaning, satisfaction and joy and fullness in your heart, where you're not hungry and you're not thirsty on the inside. Folks, only Jesus can meet this need. But the great news of the Bible is, he meets this need. Could I repeat for you John chapter 7? Listen to what Jesus said. "If anyone thirsts, let him come." In your heart, where you're not hungry and you're not thirsty on the inside. Folks, only Jesus can meet this need. But the great news of the Bible is, he meets this need. Could I repeat for you John chapter 7? Listen to what Jesus said. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink freely. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, from the inside, will flow rivers of living water." See, this hole inside of us is not something we fill from the outside. No, no. Jesus fills it from the inside, and it overflows to the outside. And there's a joy and a contentment and a peace and a fulfillment and a purpose in life and a satisfaction that we feel that nothing from the outside can give us. And it doesn't mean we have to achieve the top of the ladder to have it. We have it because we know Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, because he overwhelms and overflows from our heart. And you can be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, and have this wonderful, joy and fulfillment and fullness in your heart. You don't have to be a big shot to have it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think of John chapter 14. Look with me, if you would, at verse 27. Jesus speaking, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in the verse before, verse 26, he said, "But the Helper," capital H, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Friends, the peace of God is not like the peace of the world, because the peace of God is generated inside of us by the Holy Spirit indwelling us as believers. And it flows out, like I said. It's not something from the outside that we try to stick into that hole. No, no. It's something that the Lord Jesus sticks into that hole, that fills it to overflowing, and out of our heart flows living water. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And once I came to Christ, I haven't hungered or thirsted in my soul, for 50 years. Things have been tough. Things have been hard. Brendan and I have been through some difficult times. But you know what? Never has my heart ever been empty, hungry, or thirsty. Because the Lord Jesus has filled it every day for 50 years. And that's what awaits a person when they come to Christ. They will never hunger again, nor will they ever thirst again in their heart. It is wonderful. Jesus is the bread of life. So I hope you've experienced that. And I hope that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Coming to Christ is not just about going to heaven. It is about having eternal life. We're going to see that next week. But it's also about filling that emptiness on the inside and making us whole, complete, healthy individuals that never feel that emptiness in our soul again like we used to feel. And that emptiness in our soul is haunting. It is tough. It is scary. But when you know Jesus, it is gone. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this wonderful truth that you are the bread of life, that you give us a peace that the world cannot possibly duplicate, a peace that is past understanding, the Bible says. And Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that he who comes to you will never thirst or hunger again, because the Holy Spirit will make sure rivers of living water flow from our soul, from the inside out. Jesus, we thank you so much for this. Those of us who've lived in the empty wilderness in our heart for years and suddenly found you, Jesus, we understand. Thank you so much for doing this for us. Thank you. You are the bread of life. May we ever, as the woman at the well said, may we ever have that bread. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. You bet. Okay. Now, next week, we're going to continue on, Lord willing, in John 6. Man, we're not at all done. This chapter just keeps on coming, friends. But praise the Lord for what a wonderful passage of Scripture. So, God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful week with rivers of living water flowing out of you, folks. And that was preaching. Yeah? Praise the Lord. See you next week.